My name is Arnold Pomerantz. I'm 82. I was born in the Bronx when dinosaurs roamed the earth in 1933. I'm first generation. My parents were immigrants from Russia. They were working class. They both worked in a factory. We lived in a neighborhood like a lot of neighborhoods here in Los Angeles that were all immigrants. So I grew up with everybody speaking a different language. As a kid, I started working as a busboy and a waiter in resorts outside of New York. Work agreed with me, and I made enough money, I bought a television set for my folks. I felt I was providing, I was payback. I was giving them a television set. When I went to school in City College in New York, I started out going to school at night. So I did a multitude of jobs. I worked as a page boy in the New York Stock Exchange. I worked for a newspaper selling advertising. I worked in a clothing store as a cashier. Came Christmas, I used to work in the post office. I moved to Los Angeles in 1962. I had worked in New York in the discount shoe business. I had an opportunity to help start a discount business with a large company in Los Angeles. The last day of the interviews, the interviews like 50, 60 people, somebody told me about it. I called and said, "Do you think I could talk to you?" He says, "No, I'm finished." But I was the last person he spoke to, and I didn't think I had a chance at the job, and I got the job. And I moved in December of 1962. I was 29. And I got the job and kept the job out here until a large company contacted me. I ran all of the Kmart stores in the West Coast, and I was a buyer for them. Then, in those days, Kmart was much bigger than Walmart. It was the biggest discount shoe store in America, and I did a good job, and the company then offered me a job to go back to New York to head all of the buying for 1,000 stores. My dream came true. I didn't want to leave LA, but it was a chance to be really successful. I was lured by success, but I didn't want to go, and he said, "What's it going to take?" And I said, "Double my salary." And he said, "Yes." And then I knew I made a big mistake. Had a big responsibility, and I worked 24/7. And when I'd come out of work, the night guard who signs you out when you work in a building said, you really work hard, man. Someday you're going to be the boss." And I said, "Oh, I am the boss. And if this is what my life is like, I don't want to do this." And eventually I quit and I came back here, no job. I took tap dance lessons until I ran out of money. And I got a job running all of the Payless stores out here. I opened 500 stores out here. I was so work-oriented that when I retired officially, and I don't like the word retired because it has the word tired in it. I wasn't tired. I'd wake up Saturday morning and I feel guilty just having coffee and reading the papers. So I did payback. I joined some friends in feeding the homeless. And up to that point, I had no feeling for homeless people. I said, "Go get a job. I worked hard. Why shouldn't you?" I had a very narrow insight into the homeless problem. And I work with a guru, a teacher, and her mantra or her slogan or her word was, "Feed everyone." And I began to get made sandwiches, sometimes hundreds of sandwiches, went out and looked for homeless people. I've been doing that for probably 20 years, and it's a great feeling of satisfaction that not only do I help them with food, they help me feel like I have some value and that I'm blessed no matter how sick I may get, that I'm really blessed that I'm able to feed them. And it's been a spiritual and a wonderful experience, and I never thought I was going to, you know, do it. I get so many God blesses and hugs, and even my dog is not here right now, belonged to a homeless woman, got hit by a car, and she didn't know what to do with it, and she couldn't feed it. I rescued it. That was my final payback. And that I all got from feeding the homeless.
Is there anything else you want to say?
Well, in all of this, I was also growing up as a gay man in a period where it was not even spoken about. So and all the things that I did, I led a double life. If you heard of In the Closet, I invented it. Never came out to family or work for a long time. It came out to my sister. She says, "What took you so long, brother dear?" That was a big change, and that's why I lecture with a group called Glide, and I do other workshops on what it was like in the last 100 years. I'm not 100 yet, but I can tell you the mindset that's changed about prejudice and acceptance and how we judge people. We're so tribal. If you look different, you act different, you eat different, you love different, then you're not part of my tribe and I don't accept you, and I try and break those barriers down. And that's 82 years in a rambling nutshell.